All right, let's spend a few minutes by way of review tonight. On your lesson, if you have the complete set, there's a page 28 that's a review of chapters 1 through 7 where you can see the review questions. It doesn't contain all of the review questions that we had, but it will contain most of them. And that will be a quick way to review. So tonight I want to look at some of those as we continue to try to establish in our minds some things that will help us be proficient in not only studying but teaching the book of Acts. What is the design of the book? Question number 6. What is that?
Show the acts of the apostles
fulfilling the commission they were given, which Christ gave them at the end of his life, before he ascended back to heaven, after he had died and risen again. Okay, what enabled them to do this work?
The Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit. He said they'd be baptized in the Holy Spirit. What does that phrase mean?
Overwhelmed
in the Holy Spirit's power. That's right. To enable them to do their work. That would include remembering everything Jesus taught them, revealing everything else they needed to know, being able to confirm their message with miracles, and to pass on the power to others. Okay. When and where was the gospel of remission of sins preached in the name of the resurrected Savior for the first time? When and where? In Jerusalem, when? Pentecost. Which Pentecost? There's a lot of Pentecost.
The one directly after Christ died.
That's right, after Christ died and was raised. So the first Pentecost after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Okay? When people in Jerusalem ask what to do to be saved, they said, "What shall we do?" What were they told that they needed to do? Repent and be baptized. That's it.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
In the name of Jesus Christ. That's it?
For the forgiveness of sins.
All right. And what would they receive?
The gift of the Holy Spirit.
Okay, and where is that verse found? Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Verse to remember. What is, says they'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. What is the gift of the Holy Spirit?
Eternal life in Jesus.
It's a good answer. What Joel talked about in verse earlier in those verses where Peter quoted Joel, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You'll receive that gift that the Holy Spirit promised through Joel if you repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus. He said the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off. Who are the far off? The Gentiles. And where would you go to show that's who the far off are? Galatians 3 would be good. There's actually a passage that talks about the Gentiles being far off. What?
Ephesians
chapter 2. That's right. But Galatians 3 is excellent as well. So those are passages that somebody says, how do you know that's what he's talking about? You can go to these passages and show that. All right, we're in chapter 3, and we looked at some of chapter 3, but we want to look at some more of the marking that we had suggested that you do here in chapter 3. All the nouns and pronouns referring to the apostles. So here we have on this chart, I don't know if I've got every single one, but I've got enough of them that you can see what we just answered a while ago. What is this book about? The apostles carrying out the ministry that Jesus had given them. So Peter and John went up the temple And the lame man saw Peter and John. Peter with John, said, "Look at us." And so they gave them his attention, expected to receive something from them. And Peter said, "What I do have, I give to you." And then as he preached, one of the things we ask you to look for are verses about the resurrection. I've got another chart about that. But this is, he raised the crippled man up. He raised him up. And then clinging to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them. And now note, all this is happening in the portico of the temple. Now, if Acts chapter 2 and verse 38 and 39, the gift of the Holy Spirit, is talking about miraculous gifts, knowledge, prophecy, tongues. So we've got thousands of Christians here with those powers. But what do you find? Where do you find all the people looking to for answers? Just to the apostles. Who's doing the teaching? Just the apostles. And so if you continue reading from chapter 2, it helps to answer that question about this promise of gift of the Holy Spirit is not speaking in tongues and prophecy and those kind of things for all the Christians that were there. They certainly aren't exercising them, and the audience is certainly not aware of them having those kind of powers. And so Peter says, "Why do you gaze at us if by our own power or piety we had made him walk?" Now, we talked about the apostles being granted power to work miracles. That's what you have. And when we talked about chapter 3 and the three divisions of it, chapters 1 through 10, the lame man healed. And then the second part is Peter's consequent sermon. And so we made him walk. And so then he says it's the one whom God raised from the dead that gave them that power. And then look at this statement. We are witnesses. And that's what we've been observing throughout our study. All right, and then all these highlights here simply shows how he glorified Christ. You remember, look at John, hold your finger at Acts 3, go to John chapter 16, John chapter 16, verse 13. This is a good class of Bible students. You recognize that this is talking, Jesus talking to the apostles, it's a promise to them when he said, "When he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth." There's a lot of truth. There's truth about the heavens and the earth and the flowers and the trees and man and woman, but it's not talking about that. Now look in verse 14. When this Holy Spirit comes, the one Jesus promised to these men, and guides them into the truth, you see it's the truth about Jesus. Verse 14, what's he going to do? He's going to glorify me. That's exactly what you have in this sermon. Look how Peter is portraying Jesus, God's servant, the holy and righteous one, the Prince of Life, the Christ, a prophet like Moses, that's verse 22, the seed of Abraham, God raised his servant, sent him to bless you. You see that these apostles, empowered by the Holy Spirit, are doing exactly what you read about in John 16. He will glorify me. All right, now, on the marking, we ask you to mark the times of refreshing. There's three statements. I've got another note about that in just a moment. So you got the times of refreshing, the period of the restoration, and these days. Now, this is important. Look at this, please. The times of refreshing may come. Look at chapter 3. He said, "Repent and return so that your sins may be wiped away in order that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that it may send Jesus Christ appointed for you." And what happens is people associate this times of refreshing with Jesus coming a second time, with his second coming. That's the times of refreshing. And Rocky just spent a quarter talking about this very concept. The idea is the lion will lie with the lamb. There'll be no war. The earth will be at peace. And Jesus will rule in Jerusalem, conquer all his enemies. Look at the text. He said, the times of the refreshing may come. Now note, whom heaven must receive Jesus, Jesus in heaven, he'll be there until the period of restoration of all things. Now what people assume is, begins. It doesn't say it begins. Is it possible it means completed or fulfilled, like back up in verse 18? The things which God announced beforehand by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ would suffer, he has thus fulfilled. Until the period of the restoration of all things are fulfilled. Note, he's talking about things the prophets talked about. He said, all the prophets announced what? These days. These days. Not 2,000 years from now. These days. The times of refreshing, the period of restoration, these days. All talk about the same time. If you have that marked in your Bible, you can go back and look at that, and you can see if you mark this other marking that we have about the prophets and those kind of things, you can see he's talking about things that have been prophesied by the prophets. They've been prophesying it from the beginning, and you see what this prophecy and these times of refreshing are about. Look in verse 19. He said, repent and return so that your sins may be wiped away. If you're guilty of crucifying the Messiah, denying your own Savior, and now you realize that, how do you feel? You're terrible. You got a load of guilt and shame. If now a message comes and says, all of that can be wiped away, everything you've ever done wrong can be wiped away, how do you feel now? Refreshed. Refreshed. That the times of refreshing may come. Note. And the period of the restoration of all things. And it's the restoring of the kingdom to the Messiah and the blessings of it to those who are in his kingdom. Not the earthly kingdom, but the kingdom to Israel, spiritual Israel, with Christ as the king. And then he said, all the prophets announced these days. Now note, you are the sons of the prophets. Does he mean lineage?
No.
You are the recipients. You're the ones the prophets had in mind. You are the sons of the prophets. For you, he sent him to bless you by turning every one of you from your wicked ways. You have it in verse 19. You have it in verse 26. All this has to do with the forgiveness that's through the suffering Christ. That's what the prophets prophesied. They didn't understand. That's what Peter is preaching about in this particular text. And you mark these things and it helps to see those very things. So here we have that same section, but now we're marking particularly these statements about prophecy, the things which God announced beforehand by all the prophets. Whatever this times of refreshing is something that all the prophets talked about. What is it that the prophets talked about? That Christ would come back to earth and reign in Jerusalem? Look what he says. That his Christ would suffer. That's been fulfilled. That's what all the prophets were prophesying. Okay? In order that times of refreshing may come. Before the times of refreshing could come, Christ had to suffer. It's through his atoning blood. Alright? The period of the restoration. The kingdom had been lost, but there was a promise that the son of David would rise and sit on the throne and bring deliverance to Israel. This is the time. In Acts chapter 2, when Peter preached that sermon, where did he say Jesus went and what did he begin to do? Where'd he go? He had an apartment somewhere in heaven or what? Where'd he go? Right hand of God. Sat down on David's throne. He began to reign. This is the kingdom, the prophesied kingdom. This is the restoration of it. Until the period of restoration about which God spoke by the mouth of all his holy prophets. So you see, all the prophets announced this. The mouth of his prophets from ancient time, all the prophets have spoken from Samuel and his successors onward announced these, what? announce that 2,000 years, no, these days, you are the sons of the prophets. Not people in another country far away. You're the ones that are the recipients of what the prophets have been talking about. Look here at chapter 3. He said, verse 25, you're the sons of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with your fathers, saying to Abraham, where did he make that covenant? What chapter in your Bible? Chapter 12 of Genesis. Important covenant. Chapter 12 of Genesis. 2 Samuel chapter 7, the covenant with David. These are important covenants in your Bible. Remember. So he said, in your seed all the families of the earth be blessed. That's Genesis 12. But now look in verse 26. For you first, God raised up his servant and sent him to bless you. Now, the promise was you'll be blessed. If you're studying premillennialism, this blessing included, in fact, focused on a restoration of their nation, the having of their land. But look at this, what he says. He said, you will be blessed. These people Peter are preaching to, how? By turning every one of you from your wicked ways. This is a Jewish audience. This is not a Gentile audience. They didn't know the truth about these things. Look over at Luke chapter 24. I have on the slide verse 46 through 48, but go back to verse 25. He's talking to two Jewish men, evidently godly men. Disciples of God, they didn't understand the death and resurrection of Jesus. But Jesus meets them on the road as they're traveling along. Look what he says to them. Verse 25. Oh, foolish men. You know, they say, Jesus, our Savior, died. Haven't you heard what's going on here? He says, oh, slow of men, foolish men and slow of heart to believe in all. Listen, all the prophets have spoken. What did we read over here? All the prophets have spoken. About what? Look, was it not necessary for the Christ, the Messiah, to suffer these things and to enter into his glory? What's his glory? What is that?
His kingship.
What?
His kingship.
His reign. All right, now go to chapter 24. Now he's talking to his apostles. That's the two men on the road to Emmaus. Now he's talking to his apostles. Verse 46. Thus it is written. Where? Here it is. In all the prophets. Thus it is written. That the Christ. No, verse 45. He opened their minds to understand the scriptures. Thus it is written. That the Christ would suffer. And rise again from the dead. That's exactly what Peter preached. Chapter 3. And note he says, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all the nations. What did Peter preach in Acts chapter 2 after he talked about the resurrection and ascension and Jesus being enthroned? What did he say the people had to do? What did they have to do? Repent. Look what he's saying right here. Repentance. Why do they need to repent, Peter said in Acts 2? For the forgiveness of sins. That's what he's preaching. That's what Jesus told them to preach. In Acts chapter 3, you go to Acts chapter 3, and look here again in chapter 3 at this sermon. Verse 19, repent and return so that your sins may be wiped away. That's the commission. Now, note further, he said that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be preached in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. Where did Peter preach these two sermons, chapter 2 and 3? Jerusalem. It just fits together, doesn't it? Now note verse 48. You are witnesses of these things. And that's exactly what he said right here. He said that they are witnesses of these things, of which we all are witnesses. All right, so if you did that marking, that may help you, I don't know. It's helpful to me. Go back, and I've got those things marked in my Bible, and it's very helpful to me at least. All right. Question number 3. What acts are attributed to the apostles in this chapter, verses 1 through 10 and 16? What kind of acts? What act?
Working miracles.
Working miracles. Healing the lame man. Working miracles. Right. And look in verse 16. On the basis of faith in his name, it is the name of Jesus with the strength in this man which you see and know. And so that's that miracle that you have in those first few verses. And that's what we find, the apostles working miracles. In Mark 16, you don't have to turn there. You remember it, don't you? He talked about the signs that would follow. And in verse 20, he said the Lord went with them and did what? Do you remember? Confirm the word by the signs that followed. That's what's happening right here. Do you reckon there were any other crippled people in Jerusalem? Sure. Why didn't he just go heal them all? That's not the purpose of miracles. The purpose of miracles is to confirm the word. These are heaven's ambassadors. All right. Verse 11 through 26. Now, what was Peter doing here? Preaching the gospel. And you see back in Matthew 28:19, what did Jesus tell him to do? Go make disciples of all the nations. What did he tell him to do according to Mark's account, Mark 16:15? Preach the gospel to the whole world. That's what you have them doing. That's why we say Acts is a sequel to the gospels. All right? And then verse 15. So you look at verse 15. This is one of the things we suggested that you mark. He put to death the Prince of Life, the one whom God raised from the dead. We saw in his first sermon, he focused on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You see it here again. All through the book of Acts, you're going to see these sermons talk about the suffering Messiah, the resurrected and enthroned Messiah. And so here you have it again. So back in Luke chapter 24, you remember he said, "You are witnesses of these things." In John chapter 15, verse 27, he told those men, "You will be witnesses of these things," and so is the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, when the Holy Spirit came upon them and gave them power, it would be the power to do what, Acts 1, 8? Power to do what? Be witnesses. And that's what you find them doing. That's who received the Holy Spirit. That's why they received the Holy Spirit. To be witnesses to the fact that your Savior was raised from the dead. It all hinges on that. If he wasn't, the whole thing's a fraud. We're wasting our time. That's what this is all about. All right. If you have the extended class, question number 4, we'll save that one for the extended class. If you have that copy of set of lessons. We're looking now at number 5 on the auditorium class lessons. What was the aim or objective of Peter's sermon? What was it?
To convince them that Jesus was the Christ.
That's it. To convince them that Jesus was their Messiah. The very one that they crucified. The very one they had disowned. He is the Holy One of God, the Servant of God, the Prince of Life. All these terms he used. And they needed to change their attitude toward him. That's what repentance is. And flee to him, to return, be converted. They're going in the wrong direction. That's the aim of his sermon. All right. Again, if you've got the extended lessons, we skip number 6. Oh, that'll be in the extended class. We're due now question number 5 on the auditorium lesson. We just did that one. Number 6. What 3 lines of evidence did Peter appeal to prove that Jesus was the Christ? What did he appeal to in verse 15?
The resurrection.
What did he appeal to in verse 16? The miracle. He said, verse 16, on the basis of faith in his name, the name of Jesus, he strengthened this man. Here he is. Here he is. How is it? Jesus. Miracle. miracle that they had by the power of the very man that they had denied. And then this last one may not be quite as clear, but what's the third thing that he appealed to in verse 19 through 26? The prophets. Very good. The prophets. Your prophets prophesied a crucified Messiah. Your prophets prophesied that his kingdom would be restored. Your prophets were talking about you as the sons of the prophets and receiving those blessings. So this is in perfect accord with your Bible. This is what your Bible has been talking about. And that's what he appeals to this audience. All right. Question 7. In verse 16, does Peter refer, we talked about that in our last class, so we'll skip that one. Talking not about the crippled man's faith. He didn't have any. But the apostles' faith in Jesus. All right. And so, number 8. We've been talking about number 8 already. Let's see. I may have time to at least read one of these verses. Look at Isaiah 49. Now, if you're in the extended class, we've got a bunch more verses than the one that's on the auditorium class lesson that further confirms that this times of refreshing fit Old Testament prophecy. May not be the way you'd describe it, but look at some of these verses. Let's go to Isaiah 49, beginning in verse 5. Well, let me start in verse 6, for sake of time. He says, "It is too small a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved ones of Israel. Now, I will also make you a light of the nations." Now, note that word restore. What is Peter preaching about? The times of restoration. But I've got a servant that's going to restore the preserved ones of Israel. I'll make you a light of the nation so that my what? Salvation. What kind of salvation? That's why Peter preached what he did in Acts 2. Joel said, whoever called the name of the Lord will be saved. But what's that talking about? He said, come back, forgiveness of sin, you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's the salvation he's talking about. And that's what he's talking about here. We saw that earlier in the right at the beginning of the sermon, right at the end of the sermon. Salvation from sin. All right? And then go down to verse 8. Thus says the Lord, in a favorable time I have answered you, and a day of salvation I've helped you. And I'll keep you and give you for a covenant of the people to do what? To restore. To restore the land. To make them inherit the desolate heritage. Saying to those who are bound, go forth. Would that be refreshing? If you've been bound and you're afraid to get out, somebody says, you're free. You're free. Go forth. To those who are in darkness, show yourselves. Along the roads they'll feed, and their pasture will be on the bare heights. They'll not hunger or thirst, nor will the scorching heat or sun strike them down, etc. Going to lead them to springs of water. Does that describe times of refreshing? Indeed it does, in prophetic language. Now, how do you know this is the Messiah? All right, look back in your Bible at verse 6. And we have on your lesson here some verses. Look at Acts 13:47. You have a reference there. First, look at Acts 13:47. So Paul's preaching in Antioch of Pisidia. The Jews reject his message. Look at verse 47. The Lord commanded us, I placed you as a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the end of the earth. Your Bible may have that printed in small capitals. Why? It's a quote from the Old Testament. You have a reference telling you where it's from, don't you? It's over here, right here in Isaiah, where we're reading. That establishes, if Paul was an apostle, if he had the Holy Spirit, there's no question about his interpretation and application of Isaiah chapter 49. Is there? See? And then we have here on your lesson, 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2. Look at that one. He said, Paul's talking to these Corinthians about salvation in Christ, writes this letter to them. He says, working together with him, we also urge you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, at an acceptable time I've listened to you, and on the day of salvation I helped you. What's the reference there? You got a little reference. If you got a reference Bible, it tells you where it's at. That's Isaiah 49. You don't have to wonder what's meant over here. You have the Holy Spirit who guided Isaiah, guiding Paul, to tell you what it meant. And so when Peter talks about the times of restoration, that the prophets, what Peter says, is what all the prophets were talking about. I also have Isaiah 55, and you can go look at that, Isaiah 61, etc. On your copy, let's see what we've got. Isaiah 61, 1 through 4, and you can look at Luke 4:18, showing that's a fulfillment of that, again, showing the times of refreshing, those concepts. But for sake of time right now, we're going to skip that. That other verse, but there's a number of others. And if you're interested, come to the Friday night, Sunday night at 5 o'clock. The Lord willing, we'll talk about some of those if, as our time allows. Okay. Now, he talked about the restoring things. According to Matthew 17, 11 through 13, and Mark 9. Who came to restore things? John the Baptist. Did John restore the kingdom? No. But they use words to refer not to the doing of a thing, but the declaration of it. That's what John did. He declared the restoring of the kingdom. What was John's work? Prepare the way for the Messiah, the one who would restore the kingdom. And so, again, not something that happened many years from now, but from the time they're speaking, or from our time, right? Okay. So, I have here, G, in the light of these scriptures, read again Acts 1, 4, and 7 through 8, and that simply has to do with the promise to the apostles, their mission, and the Holy Spirit would equip them to do it, and that's exactly what we have. We have here the last question, list all who worked miracles in chapter 3. That's pretty easy, isn't it? Only the apostles. So now we've been through, we had the promise in chapter 1. We have chapter 2, verse 43. The people were amazed at who worked in miracles, chapter 2, 43. The apostles. But by this time, there were thousands of Christians. Here in Acts chapter 3, again, it's just the apostles working miracles. And that's why if you go through and mark those pronouns and see who it's talking about, that becomes abundantly clear. Okay. Let's go to chapter 4. Chapter 4. All right. Once again, we ask you to mark the pronoun for the apostles, and you have that all the way through the chapter. I have some of that here on this chart. They're the ones doing the speaking, verse 1. They're the ones doing the teaching, verse 2. You got thousands of Christians. Did the early Christians ever do any preaching and teaching?
Yes.
Where did it start? Where do you first read about it? Do you remember? Chapter 8, verse 4. That's after chapter 6. There's actually in chapter 6 a man who started doing it, Stephen. But something happened before Stephen started teaching. We'll see that when we get to chapter 6. Right now, it's just the apostles that are speaking and teaching, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. So, you know, we talked today about the problem with our society. We're concerned about this cancel culture. They won't let you speak. They censor everything. They say, boy, that's bad. Look what happened here. When these guys, chapter 4 and verse 1, as they were speaking to the people, the priest and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to them, being greatly disturbed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in jail until the next day. They didn't just cancel their Twitter account, folks. They put them in jail. Don't be teaching that, this city. Now, you know, the guy who runs Twitter can cancel your account. Can he put you in jail? Can he have you killed? I guess he's got enough money, he could hire a killer, but he don't have legal authority. Could these fellows have innocent men like Peter and John put to death? It did it. They're the ones that are responsible for Jesus being crucified. They meant business. And so they put them in jail. Place, and then you get down here a little bit further. Of course, they don't know exactly what to do. It says, verse 4, many of those who heard the message believed. The number of the men came to be about 5,000. If the men came to be about 5,000, how many Christians were there? 10,000? I don't know. A bunch. If Acts 2:38 and 39 is promising that when Christians are baptized, they receive the power to work miracles, would you think there'd be some among the 5,000 to 10,000 Christians that you read about maybe speaking in a tongue or healing somebody or uttering a prophecy? You'll not see one word about that till you get to chapter 6. Not one. And so here again you have these men. So it says the number of men came to be about 5,000. The rulers and scribes, verse 5, came together in Jerusalem. Annas the high priest was there. So here are people in power. You look at these people in power today, you think, how'd they get there? Don't they have any sense of what's going on? But look, it's nothing new. We're better off than the situation Peter was in, folks. Annas, the high priest was there, Caiaphas and John and Alexander, they're all corrupt. But they're in positions of power. They have the applause of the people. They have a name to hold up as well as their jobs. And it says, when they placed them in the center. So they got Peter and John, brought them here to this Supreme Court, as it were. The Supreme Court. Imagine going before the Supreme Court today. If all of them were like these guys. I'm going to preach the gospel. Boy, if these guys were on the Supreme Court, what would happen? Well, you're going to read what happens. So they placed them in the center. They began to inquire. Now note this statement. Right here on the chart. Look at this right here. By what power, in what name, now note this right here, have you done this? What is that a confession of, an admission of? They worked a miracle. And what is it also a recognition of? Who did it? The very thing we're trying to make in the class. These rulers made it for us. You did it. No other Christians brought to court. You did it. Apostles. And so Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, we said when we studied filled with the Holy Spirit in Acts 2:4, it doesn't necessarily mean Holy Spirit baptism. If every time you see filled with the Holy Spirit means Holy Spirit baptism, what happened here? They're baptized again. And we also said when you see filled with the Holy Spirit, you have to read the context to see what happened. What power did he give somebody? How did he influence them? Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said. All right? So we'll look more about that in just a second. And so we are on trial today. They saw the confidence of Peter and John, understood they were now this is interesting. Here are these guys preaching. If you were Jesus and you had to select some men to carry the most important message that the world has ever heard, would you choose uneducated, untrained men? Some fishermen, a tax collector? Good grief, no. You got to go to school, man. You got to go to school for 12 years. You got to get a degree. You got to pass the test. No, look at these guys. These guys are uneducated and untrained. I'm going to tell you what, there's churches in this land right now called Churches of Christ. They don't want a preacher unless he's educated and trained in some seminary or school or college. You say, well, yeah, but these guys don't have the Holy Spirit. Oh, yes, they do. It's right here. If they'll get their head in the book. It's right here. And so they saw the confidence of Peter and John. And they, uneducated men, they began to recognize them as having been with Jesus. Boy, if we stay with Jesus, it'll give us confidence. Because we'll know He's true. We talked about that in the sermon Sunday morning. He came from heaven. If I believe that, Jesus came from heaven, you can do whatever you want. I'm not going to quit talking about it. That's what we're going to see they did. All right, now look. Seeing they saw the man who had been healed. Look at verse 14. What are they going to do? There's the guy. the guy who was crippled, laid at the gate of the temple, chapter 3. He's standing up, right with those guys. What are they going to do? And so they ordered them to leave the council. They said, what should we do with these men? These men. Now note this statement. For a noteworthy miracle has taken place through them. They knew who did it. They didn't deny it was a miracle. They couldn't deny it. And then it says, they warned them, speak no longer. What would I do? What would you do? You're before the Supreme Court. I said, let me tell you something, buddy. Don't you be preaching in the United States or in Texas anymore. Say it to the Texas Supreme Court. In this state, you don't preach that gospel you believe. They commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. Peter and John answered, we cannot stop speaking about what we have seen and heard. Note that. Now, I ask you to mark what they did. Here's what he said we can't do. We cannot stop speaking about Jesus. We cannot. What we've seen and heard. So he threatened them further and let them go. When they'd been released, they went to their own, and then they heard this, they lifted up, they went to their own. We'll talk about that some more. Who are their own? I think it's the fellow apostles. They lifted up their voices. Grant that your bondservants may do what? Here it is again. What's the design of Acts? That these men carry out their mission to carry this gospel to the world. That your bondservants may speak your word with all confidence. And when they had prayed, they were all, are they baptized in the Holy Spirit a third time? Filled with the Holy Spirit. No. Filled with the Holy Spirit just simply means somebody's influenced in some way by the Holy Spirit. And what it is, you have to read the context. They're filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak the word of God. And with great power, apostles were bearing witness or giving testimony. You got 10,000 Christians. If John chapter 13 through 16, Spirit's going to enable you to witness for Jesus, why don't you read about any of those people witnessing? If the baptism of the Holy Spirit in chapter 1 has enabled Christians to witness, why with 10,000 Christians in Jerusalem, you don't read about 12 of them witnessing? They were giving their testimony or witnessing to the resurrection. Note, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And we'll get to chapter 34. It's the end of the chapter. It's just a marking of the apostles here. The funds were laid at the apostles' feet. There was a man called Barnabas by the apostles. And so that's the apostles' marking in this chapter. All right. So, we're out of time. Okay, so we at least got into chapter 4 some. Hope to finish chapter 4. Didn't even get close to that, did I? But we'll move on through chapter 4. We're going to be moving through these chapters a little bit faster. Lord willing, we'll finish chapter 4 on Sunday. Maybe get into chapter 5. Okay? All right. Thank you so much.